Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to talk to you about the combination of two things that we've been covering over the last few months, China and cryptocurrencies. Now, those two things don't normally go hand in hand, because in September 2021, the Chinese authorities banned the trade of all cryptocurrencies and also outlawed all Bitcoin mining. So if you're in China, officially, you can't have anything to do with cryptocurrency right now, although it has been reported that China is now the second largest Bitcoin miner in the world. So these are obviously illegal activities that are going on behind the authorities' backs. And just so you're aware, the reason that the Chinese authorities officially banned cryptocurrency was that firstly, they were concerned about the safety of their people's investments, the risk that the assets could fall in value. Much, much safer to stick it into Chinese property. I think that was the undercurrent of the message. And secondly, they were concerned about the criminal fraternity getting involved. So gangsters and the underworld using cryptocurrency as a method of payment. And that second issue is obviously something that resonates all around the world because it's very difficult to track crypto and it's very difficult to be able to regulate it. So China doesn't like cryptocurrency, but the one country in the world that absolutely loves cryptocurrency is El Salvador. And in fact, it loves it so much that in September 2021, Bitcoin was declared as an official currency of El Salvador. So from that date forward, you could go into stores and actually pay for things using Bitcoin with your electronic wallet. Now, with hindsight, the timing of this announcement couldn't have been much worse for El Salvador because the crypto markets peaked around November 2021. And since then, we have seen a massive deterioration in value. And that's caused problems for El Salvador because they put some of their assets into crypto at the start of this experiment. So in today's video, what I want to talk to you about is the situation in El Salvador right now. Some of it relates to Bitcoin, but most of it relates to the huge amount of national debt that they've built up and the fact that the country is a net importer. It's similar to a lot of other countries that we've covered on the channel that are having major problems right now. It has to import large quantities of oil and food, and obviously the prices of all of those imports have been affected by what's happening in Ukraine. And also El Salvador's official currency is the US dollar, and the US dollar has appreciated dramatically in value over the course of the last 12 months, and that's caused major problems for the economy. So El Salvador is now teetering on the brink of collapse. And China have come along and said that they are happy to bail them out. So in today's video, I'm going to go through the details of this. We'll have a look at El Salvador. I'll give you a little bit more background on where the country is, what it's all about, and why it got itself into the situation it's in. We'll then have a look at the balance of trade, what's going on with currency, what the situation is with regards to Bitcoin, what international debt El Salvador has built up, and what the proposal is from China that's on the table right now, and then what the implications of that deal could be for El Salvador. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen with this situation over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, and what the implications of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. And once again, thank you so much to everybody that supported the channel. I really appreciate it. El Salvador is located in Central America, which sits between North America and South America, obviously, and has land borders with Honduras to the north and the east, Guatemala to the northwest, and has an extensive amount of Pacific Ocean coastline to the south. And interestingly, it's the only Central American country that doesn't have any Caribbean coast whatsoever. El Salvador is the smallest and most densely populated of the 7 Central American countries. El Salvador is known as the land of volcanoes because it has more than 100, and around 20 of these are still potentially active. And Santa Ana, which stands 2,381 meters above sea level, is the highest volcano in the country. Due to the fact that it has so many volcanoes, the country has very little level land, and less than 20% of the soils are suitable for agriculture. Despite this, in the past, the country was a large producer of coffee beans, and at one stage was the 4th largest exporter in the world. However, these exports have now fallen significantly. From the late 1970s to the early 1990s, the economy and the country of El Salvador was decimated by civil war. During this period, the country experienced military-dominated rule, profound social inequality and repression. In 1992, a United Nations-mediated peace settlement was agreed and democracy was introduced into the country. However, the economy was rocked further by Hurricane Mitch in 1998, which caused extensive damage, and a major earthquake in 2001. El Salvador's economy today is dominated by manufacturing. The majority of raw materials are imported. The country then manufactures and produces finished articles, a lot of it for the textiles industry, and then it's exported overseas. The biggest export market for El Salvador is the USA after a free trade agreement was signed in 2004. However, these accomplishments have been offset by high oil prices, natural disasters, and a decline in the number of manufacturing plants. These factors have prevented El Salvador from paying off its external debt, and the country continues to rely partly on foreign aid. It's estimated that more than 1 million Salvadorians live in the United States and have played an increasingly important role in the Salvadorian economy since the end of the country's civil war, as they send back large amounts of cash every single month. But it's not all doom and gloom for El Salvador. Their national flag is the only one in the world that features six volcanoes. The country is a surfer's paradise and has some of the biggest swells offered by the Pacific Ocean. And if you're a surfing fan, you're probably well aware of the right-hand point breaks that grace most of the coastline. However, even if you're not a surfer yourself, you may well remember the film Point Break, starring Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves from the early 1990s, which was about a group of bank-robbing surfers, which had absolutely nothing to do with El Salvador, but it just came to mind when I was thinking about Point Break. Now, before we go on any further today, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, the Ridge Wallet. Now, this time of year, I'm constantly being asked for present ideas. What can I buy you? And the Ridge Wallet would make a brilliant gift. If I compare this to my existing wallet, which is quite small and quite slim, this is a no-brainer. It is so cool. And it's got a lovely money clip on the back, so you can keep your cash in here. It can hold up to 12 cards. You just push them out. Really easy to handle. But it just feels cool. It's just a nice piece of kit. I'll bring it close to the camera. It might take a second to come into focus, but it just is a really nice thing to handle. And if you'd like the wallet, you can also get a key case, which is exactly the same concept. It's made of metal. It's really nice to handle. You keep up to six keys in here. Really neat, but these things are really nice. And if you check out ridge.com/JoeBlogs, you can get 40% off up until the 22nd of December. So check this out, guys. Go to ridge.com/JoeBlogs. This chart shows El Salvador's exports over the last 12 months. And the scale that we're looking at here is in millions of dollars. In September, the total value of all exports was just under $600 million. And the highest month for exports was February, when the country achieved $710 million. And if we have a look at the breakdown of what those exports actually consisted from, you can see that 30% relate to textiles and garments, 8% relates to plastics that are being manufactured in the country, 6% to paper and paperboard, and the same amount for electrical and electronic equipment, and 5% for sugars. And in terms of which countries El Salvador is actually exporting products to, 40% go to the USA under that free trade agreement that we just mentioned, 17% to both Guatemala and Honduras, who are both bordering countries, and 7% to Nicaragua. Now, this table shows the volume of imports for El Salvador over the last 12 months. And by looking at this, you can start to see why the country has a problem. In September, the total value of all imports was just under $1.5 billion, and that was down from around $1.7 billion in August. Now, if you think back to the exports chart that we were looking at, the total value of the exports was coming in around about $600 million per month. So we're looking at a shortfall in terms of the difference between imports and exports of almost $1 billion per month. Now, this table shows the breakdown of the imports by category, and you can see the largest category is oil and related products, which came in at 13%. Now, this table is actually for 2021, and what we've seen in 2022 is that the price of oil has risen dramatically. It's gone up from a long-term average of around $65 per barrel to over $100. So if this chart were to be produced right now for the latest figures, it's likely that the amount that El Salvador is paying for oil would have increased significantly. The volumes may have stayed the same, but because the price has gone up for the oil, the total cost would be higher. The next three categories all relate to imports that are made for the manufacturing businesses in El Salvador. They're importing raw materials and components. They are then assembling things and then exporting the finished product. And you can see that machinery relates to around 8% of imports, electrical and electronic equipment around 7%, and plastics around 6%. And in terms of the breakdown of those imports, the biggest trading partner at the moment is the United States, which represents 27%. China is the next largest at 17%. Guatemala, El Salvador's neighbour, is 11%, Mexico 8%, and Honduras 6%. And obviously one of the reasons for this video is to talk about the growing relationship between China and El Salvador. So going forward, this table may change significantly, and we could see China becoming the biggest trading partner for El Salvador over the next few months. And this chart shows El Salvador's balance of trade over the last 12 months. And the balance of trade, just to refresh your memory, is the difference between the volume of your exports and the volume of your imports. So if you're exporting more than you're importing, so you're selling more goods than you're buying, then you will have a positive balance of trade. You'll be building up a cash reserve. However, if you're importing more than you're exporting, so you're buying more than you're actually selling, then you're going to have a negative balance of trade, and that's going to put pressure on your reserves. And you can see here that El Salvador has run a negative balance of trade in every single month in the last 12 months. And in the month of August, expenditure exceeded revenue by more than $1 billion. And if I expand this chart out to show you the last 30 years, you can see that El Salvador has been running a negative balance of trade for that whole period. And that the overall trend is that the deficit is getting larger, particularly over the last couple of years. So this is a real crisis situation that El Salvador finds itself in. It needs a bailout. It's on the verge of collapse. Nayib Bukele is the son of a wealthy El Salvadorian family that have a large restaurant business. After graduating from university, he worked in public relations. And after working with one of the political parties in El Salvador, decided that he wanted to run for the position of mayor of San Salvador, which is the capital. In 2015, he was appointed as the mayor at the age of 30. And after a successful four-year term in which he tried to tackle the high levels of gang warfare and murders in the country, in 2019, he was voted as the president of El Salvador with a 91% majority. Nayib Bukele is a big user of social media and has 4.4 million followers on Twitter and 3.7 million followers on Instagram. And those numbers are quite impressive when you think that the population of El Salvador is 6.5 million. And it's unlikely that the older people in the country are using Instagram that much. And alongside his appetite for social media, Nayib Bukele is also a major fan of cryptocurrencies. Now, before we go on to talk about the Bitcoin situation, I wanted to explain what's going on with regards to the domestic currency in El Salvador. As I mentioned at the start of the video, the period from the 1970s through to 1992 represented a complete disaster from El Salvador's point of view. We had civil war and the economy really went to rack and ruin. Now, when the peace agreement was put in place in 1992, there was a period of stability and there was hope at that time that the local currency could develop and flourish. However, the economy was severely damaged by the hurricane in 1998 and the earthquake in 2001. And as a result of this, there was a high level of dollarization. Now, I've talked about this before on the channel, but dollarization is the situation where the local people decide that they no longer have any faith in their own currency and that they would rather use dollars for trading. Now, due to a combination of the high level of dollarization and also problems with regards to the central bank, the decision was taken in 2001 to accept the US dollar as the official currency of El Salvador. So this was a wholesale conversion over to the greenback. And the problem with this arrangement is that the El Salvador Central Bank is no longer in charge of the currency, so it can't operate any of the policies that we've talked about on the channel before, such as quantitative easing, whereby you can increase the money supply to try to increase demand and boost the economy. You simply can't do that when you're not in control of the currency. So that's how the economy has been running for the last 20 years. And over that period, the situation has been gradually getting worse. As we saw, the balance of trade has been running in a negative position for the whole of that time. So that means that El Salvador just doesn't have any cash. It's running out of money all the time. So it's constantly needing to take on international debt and receive handouts, bailouts, and international aid. And as it sits right now, El Salvador has around $21 billion worth of debt. And that equates to more than 90% of their annual GDP. So this is a crisis situation. So Nayib Bukele decided that he wanted to do something to try to get the country out of this problem. So alongside the dollar, he decided that he was going to be the first country in the world to introduce Bitcoin as a legal tender. And in September 2021, that's exactly what happened. On the 6th of September, El Salvador launched what it called the Chivo wallet, which offered users $30 worth of Bitcoin for free, and was designed to be used by everybody in the country as a means of payment. Now, unfortunately, within 5 hours of the Chivo wallet launching, the system had to be closed down due to a severe lack of capacity. Unfazed by this initial failure, Nayib Bukele asked for patience and announced that the government of El Salvador had purchased an additional 150 bitcoins, taking their total holdings to 550, which at that time had a market value of around $26 million. So that equates to around about $50,000 per one bitcoin. And in an attempt to show that the new system was working, Nayib Bukele retweeted a post by a US journalist showing that he had paid successfully for his McDonald's breakfast with Bitcoin. So this was obviously a really bold move by El Salvador. Firstly, to introduce Bitcoin as legal tender. And secondly, to start investing some of the government's money into Bitcoin themselves. So let's have a look at exactly what's happened to the price of Bitcoin since the start of this experiment. This graph shows the movement in Bitcoin price measured in US dollars since the start of September 2021. So as you can see, at the point when El Salvador announced that it was introducing Bitcoin as legal tender, the price of one Bitcoin was somewhere in the region of $50,000. Now, the price initially fell. However, in October and November, there was a rally in the price. And on the 9th of November, the price of one Bitcoin rose to above $67,000. And at that stage, Nayib Bukele must have thought that he was a genius and this was going to solve all of El Salvador's problems. However, unfortunately, if you look at what's happened to the price of Bitcoin over the last 12 months, it has been a disaster for all investors and particularly for El Salvador. And where we are right now is that the price of one Bitcoin is around $16,500. And this chart shows the official purchases that El Salvador have been making of Bitcoin over that same period. The green dots on the chart show the purchases, and you can see that every single one of these purchases is now underwater. So El Salvador has lost money every time it's bought Bitcoin. And it's currently estimated that the government spent around $107 million on Bitcoin, and those Bitcoin are currently worth around $40 million. So the value is now significantly less than it was. So the Bitcoin experiment hasn't worked for El Salvador. So they haven't managed to dig themselves out of the hole, and they've still got the problem of a large amount of international debt. And one of the biggest problems that they're facing right now is that they were talking to the IMF about a bailout facility. So back at the start of 2021, El Salvador applied to the IMF for a $1 billion facility. However, the IMF was not happy at all with the concept of Bitcoin being introduced as legal tender. So they gave an ultimatum to Nayib Bukele and said, if you go ahead with this plan, then we will not be providing you with any bailout facility. Obviously, he did go ahead with that plan and the IMF did not give that $1 billion over. And the problems El Salvador has now is that they have repayments coming up on some of their existing bonds. In January, they've got a repayment of $688 million, and they just simply don't have that cash. So they're needing to find it from somewhere. And it's now been announced that China have offered to refinance all of the $21 billion of El Salvador's existing debt, alongside putting a free trade agreement in place between the two nations. Now, this is a really interesting development because since 2004, the biggest trading partner for El Salvador has been the USA. And obviously, it's located relatively close geographically. But that relationship hasn't really put El Salvador onto a solid footing. It's still losing money every single year. But in 2018, it was announced that the relationship with Taiwan was being cancelled, that El Salvador would never deal with them again. And this put them into a much better position in terms of their relationship with China. So China is now offering the opportunity for El Salvador to increase its level of trading with the country and also to wipe off all of its debts. So that seems like a great proposal from El Salvador's perspective because it gets them out of the difficult situation that they're in right now. But the big question is, what are the implications if El Salvador sign this deal? If you follow the channel, you'll know that I've posted a number of videos on China's Belt and Road Initiative. And this initiative was put together by China around 10 years ago and was designed to help build infrastructure in a variety of emerging and developing countries all across the world in order to give China a better trade route than it has currently. And through this initiative, China has invested tens of billions of dollars into a variety of different projects, including ports, airports, roads, rail, all sorts of different infrastructure projects. But the problem with the way that this is structured is that China put these deals together as debt. So the country that signs the deal, they get the infrastructure, but they also build up a large amount of debt that they have to pay back at some point in the future. And the big question is, what happens if they don't make those repayments? And a good example of what can happen occurred in Sri Lanka in 2018. China was developing a port for Sri Lanka called Hambantota. The Sri Lankan authorities couldn't afford the repayments, and a deal was agreed whereby China took a 99-year lease on that port. So they now own a small part of Sri Lanka. And that's caused concern all around the world, particularly in the US, because theoretically China could now set up a military base in Sri Lanka. And the concern is that all of these other countries that have done deals with China could be put into a similar situation. And that's exactly what could happen here with El Salvador. El Salvador may have all of its debts transferred from all of their existing positions over to China, but it's still debt. They still owe that money. They're still having to make those repayments. The problem they're in right now is that they don't have any cash to be able to generate to make those repayments, and they haven't solved that issue. The free trade deal that's being proposed by China could potentially put them in a better situation, but nobody knows. We don't know what the details of that are. But the real danger here is that if China take on all of this debt and El Salvador can't pay, then China could demand that they want certain rights over land in El Salvador. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I'm always talking about how interconnected the globe is, how when something happens somewhere, it can have knock-on impacts. And we've been talking about the FTX cryptocurrency disaster. So Sam Bankman-Fried built up his company. It was theoretically worth $32 billion at one point, but less than 12 months later, it's now bankrupt and worthless. And looking at that in isolation is an interesting case study. But what's more interesting are the knock-on impacts of that failure. And what we're talking about in today's video is partially related to that. Now, El Salvador's problems are not all down to Bitcoin. They've had long-standing problems for the last 50 years or so. But the president of El Salvador had a bright idea to get themselves out of the hole. He was going to introduce Bitcoin as legal tender, and if it had worked, he wanted to issue bonds in Bitcoins. They were referred to as volcano bonds because of the number of volcanoes in El Salvador, and his first issuance was going to be a $1 billion Bitcoin bond. Now, that was meant to come out in the summer of 2022, but obviously with what's happened in the Bitcoin and crypto markets, it just wasn't possible to do that. So the fact that crypto has been on the decline almost ever since El Salvador went into the market and decided that they wanted to start buying and they were going to introduce it as legal tender, it's been really unfortunate from a timing perspective. But the fact that the crypto markets have cratered have really killed off any chance that El Salvador did have to get itself out of that situation. So it now needs a bailout. And the IMF, who are the usual people who provide bailouts, have stated that they're not prepared to give El Salvador any money because they've introduced Bitcoin as their legal tender. So Bitcoin hasn't saved the country and actually has put it into a worse position because it can't get the IMF money. So the only real option that El Salvador has left to it right now is to talk to China. And China have come in with a really interesting deal to take out all of El Salvador's debt. So that's much more attractive than what the IMF was offering. They were only talking about a $1 billion bond, which would have lasted for probably 6 or 12 months at most. And then El Salvador would have been in exactly the same position where it wouldn't have had any money for the next repayment. But China is looking to wipe the slate clean. But the danger for El Salvador is obviously, what are the terms and conditions attaching to that? What will El Salvador have to give up in the future in order to keep these bonds going? So from a geopolitical perspective, that's the risk, is that China is using this as a mechanism to get a foothold into Central America alongside the foothold that it's got in Sri Lanka and a number of other countries. And that's the concern on the bigger picture about the Belt and Road Initiative, that China is really looking to increase its influence and to have favorable locations all around the world. And the big question remains, what will it do with those? So hopefully you found today's episode useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.